What if technology could resurrect the dead? In Richard Power's Playground, this question haunts Todd Keene, a brilliant tech billionaire facing his own mortality through early-onset dementia. As his mind deteriorates, Todd races to create an artificial intelligence capable of preserving human consciousness. But can digital code capture what makes us truly human? The novel unfolds across three intertwined lives: Todd's technological ambition, his childhood friend Rafi's philosophical resistance, and marine biologist Evelyn Bulio's deep connection to the natural world. Their stories converge on Mauna Kea, a remote Pacific island with its own complex history of exploitation and renewal. Through these characters, Powers explores humanity's oldest dream, defeating death itself, while questioning whether our technological innovations might be creating something entirely new. Our earliest experiences shape our lifelong quests in ways we rarely recognize. Todd Keene, born January 1, 1970, carries the burden of being first in line for the new decade. His parents' toxic relationship drives him to escape underwater, where during a crucial backgammon match, fish feed him moves, establishing his pattern of finding solutions by withdrawing from human connection. Rafi Young faces racial prejudice and family violence. His father stresses that a black man's got to read twice as good as any white just to get half the recognition. After his sister dies following an altercation with his stepfather, 13-year-old Rafi chose to live in the truth forever, creating a fundamental difference between him and Todd. For Evelyn Bewley, transformation comes at 12 when her father introduces her to an early aqualung. Underwater, she finds transcendent freedom despite her land anxieties. She later disguises her gender to dive without interference, submitting field notes as E. Bewley to avoid discrimination. The novel captures this underwater world vividly, culminating when 92-year-old Evelyn's bubbles tickle a manta ray's gills, prompting the creature to circle back. Life is but a game, goes the saying, but what kind of game are we playing? Todd's father initiates him into strategic thinking through board games, teaching him to see the world as patterns and probabilities. When Todd meets Rafi at St. Ignatius, their relationship forms around chess. Despite initial unfamiliarity, Rafi studies intensively before their first match. Though Todd dominates, Rafi's response, "See you next week, asshole, and don't ever fucking patronize me again," establishes the competitive respect defining their friendship. Their approaches reveal contrasting worldviews. Todd values logic and patterns, while Rafi sees drama and narrative. It's a story. It's a poem. It's fucking Gilgamesh. In college, Rafi introduces Todd to Go, describing it as to chess what singing is to sucking your teeth. Their countless matches launch both lives in new directions. The exploration culminates when AlphaGo makes a move so strange that Go master Lee Sedol leaves the room. This eerie and inhuman move reveals strategies humans had missed for millennia, signaling to Todd that a new kind of being was emerging from its spinning egg. Todd's idealistic coding project quickly exceeds his control. During the best days of my life, he programs obsessively from dawn till midnight, inspired by James Carse's concept of infinite games played for continuation rather than victory. Living frugally, he dreams of both giving away and profiting from his platform. The breakthrough comes when Rafi suggests you gotta gamify it. Though Todd insists it's already gamified through voting, Rafi explains that without scarcity, without skin in the game, the system lacks stakes. Together, they create playbucks, a currency earned through engagement and spent on upvoting, establishing an influence economy. When Todd invites Rafi to join, Rafi declines, "Put your own mask on before assisting others," a phrase Todd later cynically echoes when refusing to help with Rafi's thesis. Playground evolves beyond Todd's intentions. Users create their own language, while posts begin affecting real-world events, ruining careers, manipulating stocks, and swaying elections. When questionable practices emerge, Todd testifies before Congress, claiming, "We're just a neutral platform." Todd's journey with dementia with Lewy bodies forms the novel's most poignant thread. After dismissing early symptoms, constipation, dizziness, lost smell, tremors, reality hits when hallucinations begin and he gets lost in a familiar grocery store. With 1 in 30 Americans having dementia, he finds asking, "Why me?" pointless. As his condition advances, Todd experiences time compression and loses words and abilities. Most devastating is his diminishing capacity for games and puzzles, cognitive skills central to his identity. Yet, amid deterioration comes unexpected beauty. His disease-ravaged brain produces spectacular hallucinations, hammerhead sharks swimming across his ceiling, and manta rays performing through his bedroom. Despite his terror, these visions reconnect him with the 10-year-old oceanographer who had taken a wrong turn. Todd responds by accelerating his technological ambitions, creating an AI capable of playing at being human, fulfilling a desire inspired by Rafi's interest in Fyodorov's philosophy of resurrecting everyone who ever lived. In Playground, characters find meaning by transforming discarded materials. Ina Arroya, a mixed-heritage artist on Makatea, creates sculptures from found objects, including plastic from a dead albatross. Her sculpture grows beyond her control, towering over her daughter as they collect waste from the shores. Ina questions if something remains garbage once repurposed by life, prompting Rafi to consider how nature adapts to human debris, like an octopus using a glass jar for shelter. This extends to whether human creations can serve healing rather than harm. In college, Ina creates a 10-foot wooden sculpture that forms a woman's face when viewed from a distance. After painting it cream with Maori-style tattoos, she slashes blue paint across it, revealing that these waves actually enhance the effect, suggesting invisible amazements hidden under the waves. This artistic philosophy mirrors Evelyn's discovery of coral reefs growing on sunken warships and Todd's experience with dementia, where his deteriorating brain produces underwater visions reconnecting him with childhood passions. What if the universe itself is a playground? The novel's epigraph from Proverbs describes wisdom as playing in the world, establishing play as not merely recreational, but generative. This theme appears across multiple dimensions, from games to marine creatures' seemingly purposeless activities. When 92-year-old Evelyn encounters a manta ray catching her bubbles, she witnesses play across evolutionary divides. Similarly, the cuttlefish's mysterious color dance that haunts Todd represents expression without obvious utility. Even dementia becomes play. Todd's hallucinations of underwater creatures represent his brain playing with perception, creating beauty from deterioration. His final AI project becomes a playground where identity becomes fluid. The novel concludes with Todd's sea burial, after which manta rays leap joyfully. When Haridi asks what they're doing, adults recognize that beyond scientific explanations, the rays are simply playing in the world. Perhaps our highest calling is participation in this creative play. True immortality comes not from digital resurrection, but from joining this eternal game, our most profound legacy being simply how well we played.